Imagine walking into a giant shopping mall, but instead of being able to buy Apple or Nike or Starbucks, you're able to buy tiny pieces of these companies and become an owner by owning stocks. That is exactly what the stock market is. Okay, it might be a little bit more complex than that, but in simple terms, the stock market is really just a marketplace that connects buyers and sellers of stocks. If you can understand how the stock market works, then that will allow you to start building wealth. It's one of the blocks you need as part of your foundation in your knowledge of financial markets and of wealth building. And don't worry, my entire mission is to simplify money and wealth building and really to empower you to make smarter choices and also to start investing your money. So you're at the right place, and here we go. The stock market in simple terms. We'll break it down into stock and market. Stocks, also called shares or equity sometimes, is really just a way for you to own a piece of a company. And different companies have different share prices, which represents the value of the company. But a higher share price does not mean a higher value, because the pizza might be bigger, but when it's cut into smaller slices, that just really means that one share or one slice is cheaper, but it's just a smaller slice. So the value of a company's equity, which trades on the stock market, is really just calculated by saying the amount of shares that's trading multiplied by the value of the shares or the price of the shares, what you would pay at any given moment when the stock market is open and you wanted to buy a share. This is also referred to as the market cap, which is the market capitalization or the value of the company which trades on the stock market. So that explains, a company is owned by shareholders. And when a company at a certain point or certain size decides to become publicly listed, that means their shares become publicly available to purchase for you and I, then you can become a shareholder in that business. And that explains the stocks or the share side. Now, let's look at the market side, because a market is really just a marketplace which connects buyers and sellers. And that is where a stock exchange comes in. So a stock exchange like the New York Stock Exchange or the London Stock Exchange is a marketplace that connects buyers and sellers of stocks. So you could at any given moment go onto a stock exchange by using a brokerage platform and try and buy shares from someone else that is a willing seller. So a marketplace connects willing buyers and willing sellers. But how is the price determined that you would pay? So if you could just imagine going to, for example, like a vegetable market, and you've just picked some tomatoes from your garden and you're taking them to sell. So in your mind, you're thinking, oh, I can probably get, $2 per packet. But then you arrive at the market and you notice that there are other people also selling packets of tomatoes, and they are priced at $1. So all of a sudden you realize maybe your tomato packets aren't worth $2. It's actually $1 because there are many other people selling their packets for $1. So if you price yours at $2, then all of the buyers that are going to come to the market is not going to be willing to pay you double the price compared to what other people are offering their packets at. Now, if you're going in a week's time and all of a sudden the weather is really bad, so all of the sellers are not coming to the market, but you're pitching with your packet of tomatoes, you're the only person there, and all of a sudden you can basically charge what you want because no one else is selling. So now you can price yours at even $5 for your packet of tomatoes. And this is really just to explain the pricing dynamics behind the stock market. There are obviously like many other factors that play into this, but this is a buy and a sell and a demand and a supply market. And this is what drives pricing in stocks. And there are analysts, of course, that spend hours and weeks. I put a lot of analysis into what they are pricing stocks as. And that is dependent on the company and the profits and the products that they're bringing out and the competitive landscape and the economic landscape. And there are like so many factors that they consider to determine what a target price would be for a stock. But that's like perhaps a little bit too complex and not something I necessarily think is relevant for your basic understanding of a stock market. Just one more thing to mention on the pricing is that there are many times emotional elements that also play into stocks. So it's not always just driven by numbers. For example, when the COVID pandemic happened and all of a sudden people expected flights or travel companies and airlines to be heavily impacted by the COVID pandemic and restrictions that countries have put on traveling, then these kind of stocks that are linked to traveling or to airlines would completely suffer as a result. So all of a sudden, a lot of people would want to get rid of their stocks. So there would be an oversupply, and not a lot of people will be willing to buy these stocks because everyone would be hesitant and to think, oh, is it a good time to buy? What's going to happen? How long is the pandemic going to be on? Are people ever going to go back to traveling after the pandemic? A lot of stock pricing also has to do with projections and how people think the world would look in future. For example, with AI becoming a very big theme over the last 2 years, a lot of people are expecting companies to implement more AI, data models to become more popular, and also just the energy required to run data models and the computing power for all of these companies that drive or that play a role in AI to become more valuable, because the thinking is that in future, they might not at this moment have the kind of revenues that you would associate with very valuable companies, but people are expecting, or they're pricing in, the potential growth that these companies will have in future. So that just really to try and explain forecasting and growth forecasting and how that is priced in to current share prices. I hope that makes sense. If you're finding this video interesting so far and you're thinking, okay, it might not be that complex, I want to learn more about stock markets and investing, I've got a free mini course that you can take. Follow the link in the caption and I'll send 5 emails over 5 days straight to your inbox to help you understand that stock market investing is actually not that complex. So where do index funds come in? I've got a lot of videos and I always talk about index funds on my channel. But if you want to understand, okay, Carla, now you've explained stocks and you've explained the market, but how do index funds work? So index funds are actually amazing because in a way it simplifies the stock market for you as a DIY investor, and it really enables you to get access to the stock market without having to pick companies or having to worry about, oh, should I analyze this? And how is this company going to do? And how's this industry going to do? And you don't have to worry about any of these things if you're an index investor. And lucky for you, this is also the smart way of investing, which now 20 years of data has proven that if you are a DIY stock market investor, it's actually really hard to beat the market over the long term. There are a few things that you can get right as a DIY investor, but actually the best things that you can do is to start early, to keep your fees low, to not time the stock market, and to invest consistently. Because over the long term, it is so extremely hard to beat that stock market average that you're very likely better off just tracking the stock market average. And there are some very well-known investors like Warren Buffett, who's also a very big advocate for index investing, and specifically in his case for investing in the S&P 500. And Jack Bogle, the founder of Vanguard, talks about buying the haystack instead of trying to find the needle. And with finding the needle, that means looking for the best stocks or trying to analyze and see which stocks you should pick. And if you just buy the entire haystack, then you're sure that the needles, the 5 to 10 needles that are going to actually drive the outperformance potentially, or the performance of the stock market for the next 5 years, would automatically be included in the haystack if you just buy the entire haystack. So in the case of the S&P 500, for example, which tracks the 500 largest companies in the US by market cap, which I explained before, that's really just an index where the 500 biggest companies is on the index list. And an ETF, which is an exchange traded fund, it is available for you to buy on the marketplace or on the stock market, is actually just a basket of stocks, which in the case of the S&P 500, for example, represents the 500 largest companies by market cap, by value. And it's dynamic. So when a company shrinks, it will be excluded from the list if it's not in the 500 largest companies anymore. It will then be replaced by a new company. And the ETF adjusts like that. You don't have to worry about which stocks you should be including or excluding, because if you're a passive index investor, you're just tracking the average of the market. And by tracking the average of the market, you're going to be much better off in the long term than someone that tries to pick stocks, or someone that pays high fees for someone else to pick stocks. So where does a brokerage account fit into all of this? A brokerage account is really just an account or a firm that connects you to stock exchanges. So an international brokerage, for example, will connect you to the London Stock Exchange and the New York Stock Exchange and then allow or connect you with buyers and sellers on those exchanges. So that's really just an account that allows you to buy and sell stocks. And depending on whether it's a local or an international one, it can connect you to stock exchanges across the world. And brokerage firms make their money by charging you fees to trade. But depending on the account, obviously, that you're using, fees for passive investors tend to be very low. Every time you buy or sell, there is a transaction fee, but it's very low, especially considering that the ETFs that you're buying are some of the lowest funds in the world. So this is really the smart way to be an investor. And the brokerage firms really are just an enabler. They are the restaurants that give you a menu. But what you choose on the menu, of course, is up to you. And they're just charging you a fee to enable you or to connect you with buyers and sellers on different exchanges or marketplaces. So stock market investing does not have to be risky. You can do this in a way that you track the average return on the stock market. Yes, it is still a volatile and there's no guarantees on the returns that you're going to get. But if you want to be a smart wealth builder and you actually want to build long-term wealth, it's crucial that you invest in the stock market, that you take on risk in the stock market, especially if you're investing for the long term, and not stay safe on the sidelines. And I also have some good news for you. I'll be running my 5-week flagship investing course that has actually received raving reviews. I'll be doing that again in a few weeks' time, and you can be part of the cohort that runs through the course with me, really understanding how the stock market works, how to be a smart investor, how to be a smart index investor, how to keep your fees low, and just really having all of the tools that you need to empower yourself to be a smart DIY investor. If you're interested in joining the cohort, I'll share the link with you to sign up. As always, I love your feedback. Please let me know in the comments what you think and what else you'd like to see on my channel. See you next time.